Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and an any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just three. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.
When you share your food, you share your heart. So what's on your table this holiday season? Save on your festive feast at Kroger with delicious deals on all the holiday classics. Or wow the crowd with something new, like a quinoa stuffed butternut squash. It's sure to add a pop of color to your spread. How about a sweet potato casserole with a crunchy oat streusel topping? Made with care for the sweet tooth and the savory tooth. With Kroger, fill your table with love and watch as your guests' hearts get as full as their bellies. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.
Now, when you think back about all of the utopian and dystopian futures that our greatest science fiction writers and movie makers have imagined over the years, definitely missing in this is a future where mushrooms control robots and fungi are exploring the galaxy. Yet, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, researchers in Cornell may have taken the first step towards that future. Rob Shepherd is professor in the School of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering at Cornell. He joins me now. Rob, welcome to the program.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with, as we always do, some definitions, please. What are the fungal mycelia that you're using, and what are you doing with them?
Well, we grow king oyster mushrooms, and the mushroom is the fruiting body that grows above ground that most of us know about. But there's also filaments that are kind of like the roots that grow under the soil. And we're using the signals they generate, the electrical signals they generate from measuring the environment to control fully synthetic machines.
Okay. So number one, why? It's like my first major question.
Biological machines like cells will never get as sophisticated as they are. They're very small. They're self-powered, and they take in lots of information from the environment, process it, and do things with it that we'll never be able to do on our own. So in the case of mycelium, they sense lots of different inputs like chemicals and pests, proximity of pests and light input. And then they decide, then they send information that controls resource distribution. And instead of us using the information they're sending for resource distribution, we use it for robot control.
Okay. When you say they sense, obviously these mushrooms don't have brains, but when you say they sense, what exactly is happening, and what do we see in the real world when they're subjected to chemicals or moisture or light or whatever it is?
Well, when we expose the hyphae, which are the cells of the mycelium, to different inputs, they change their ion signaling pathways, and that creates a voltage that we measure. We call it an action potential spike. And it responds to many different inputs, like we discussed, chemicals and things like that, but it has a very strong response to light. Mushrooms grow in the dark. They don't like the light. If you shine UV light on them, you get very large voltages that you can measure. So for the first demonstration of our biohybrid mycelium robot, we controlled its movement by inputting UV light to the mycelium.
So mushrooms don't move, right? How do you get a mushroom to control something? Is it as simple as just a transformation of this the signal, or is the mushroom doing anything?
Yeah, it is. They're issuing the control command, but they're not controlling any muscle. They're sending, we measure the action potential waveform that comes out, and we interpret that as a motor control for an electric motor that then turns wheels or valves gas. We had two different robots, one that was gas powered and one that was motor controlled wheels.
So this mushroom is essentially driving these robots around based on the signal you're giving it?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
And it does that to try and get away from the UV light.
Yeah, we made it do that. We could have also decided to have it move towards the UV light, which is something it would not like to do. If I were to ask it a question, it would probably say, don't move me towards the light. so we chose to do the nice thing and move it away from the light.
Right, but it doesn't, just to be really clear, you shine some UV light on it, and it basically shows this big spike, almost like a neuron spike of, you know, when we taste something or whatever.
Correct.
And then you turn that into it controlling, it sending out an electrical signal to a robot to go forward or go backwards, but it's not choosing which way it can go, and there's no thinking a part of it, right? So what is the bit that you're connecting from the mushroom to the robot? Like, how do you turn these ion channel changes into into an electrical signal?
We let the mycelium grow around electrodes, and then the electrodes measure these voltages. And then we can do whatever we want with those things. And while mycelium don't think in the way we think, they do want to live. And so they want to grow towards things they like and move away from things they don't like. And so the next step for us is not to use UV light for control, but to use chemical inputs and use the decisions the mycelium makes to help us improve agriculture. If we receive a signal that looks like it's not enjoying its environment, it probably means that plants growing around it also don't like the environment. So then we can make decisions about fertilizer treatment, pesticide treatment, and stuff like that.
Okay. Back to my original question, though, of why. how does it compare to sensors in the soil? And why would, you know, because it sounds like a quite complicated thing. It also reminds me of that series, The Last of Us, you mm-hmm. know, when you say we'll just let the mycelia grow around these electrodes. I'm reminded of some of those scenes. But why would we not just use sensors? Why bother using mushrooms, apart from the fact that it's pretty cool?
It's a really, well... I agree. It is really cool. Thanks for saying that. The sensors we make now, while they're really good, they're not as good at what life does really well is auto-amplify particular signals. So an organism, because it's evolved over, you know, a billion years to survive, it needs to detect really small signals and then understand them. So we're not going to be better than a silicon-based gas sensor for one particular thing, but we will be better than a measurement system for a multitude of different things simultaneously. So multiple inputs for a single output. I think an organismal approach will be better. And also, they're more sensitive to a lot of different environments. And weirdly, mushrooms can live and operate in environments where a lot of digital electronics would fail, like nuclear reactors. Like Chernobyl, there was a fungal species that was growing there not long after the meltdown.
Wow. I mean, I guess having that ability, I mean, they're my understanding is these mushrooms are quite robust. They're sensitive, but at the same time, they're quite robust that they will continue to live in environments, as you say, that are not great. They like moisture. They like the dark. They like they're indifferent to, you know, nuclear radiation. But are these things that could work in space? Is there any aeronautical or space related work that they might be useful for?
Yeah, I think that they would be great in space, and there are some. But even on other planets and asteroids and moons, I think there are rules against it, though, because we're very concerned as humanity to not introduce our genetic material from the Earth onto other planets.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'd be allowed by policy to put these on other planets or moons. But I think in space, in a space shuttle, a space station, monitoring for biohealth, CO2, things like that would be a good thing to do.
I'm hearing a lot of this sort of hybrid robotic work coming out of the United States. And I'm wondering, we're hearing about computers that are running on human neurons, or that are running on animals, mixed animal models, or those mini brains or brains on a chip. Where is all this heading, do you think? And what is the most promising arena of work? Is this really sort of basic research, or is there an end goal in terms of what the application is for?
Well, I think that for now, there are some companies that are trying to use neurons, rat neurons, for computation. And that I would classify as not basic research. There's many other people trying to use mammalian tissues for actuators to move things around. There's a lot of good reasons you would want muscle over motors. An issue there is it's very difficult right now to get it robust enough to work in an environment that would be practically useful. Yeah. So I'd say that's basic research. The reason we chose to use mushrooms for what our biohybrid work is, it's very robust. We got a kit from Amazon to grow these mushrooms, and then had a wheeled robot operating outside with very little effort. We don't have to feed it. We do culture it, but then you can actually not give it food or water for a very long time and operate it outside, and it still works. So mushrooms are quite robust in this sense. And I think they'll be able to, if we can find, so-called product market fit, it would be out of the basic research stage pretty fast.
I also imagine a lot fewer ethical complications.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is interesting. Mushrooms are much closer to animals in the kingdoms than plants are. But still, I think that arguing that they feel pain is probably not. It's probably not true, but who knows? We get into when you start seeing it make things move around, you start to feel differently about it. And so I'm still fine in the ethical dilemma there, but I could see it. I could see it changing in the future, depending on what they're being used for.
And just finally, we talked about robots and we talked about animals, but are there other plants, or I suppose fungi are not plants, are they? Are there other organisms that might be very good for this, that are quite reactive to their environment? Are there other plants that were candidates for this sort of work?
Well, yes, Italian Institute of Technology does some pretty good work on plant bioelectronics. We wanted to go a different path than plants. There are good reasons to use plants. They're very sensitive to chemical inputs, just like mycelia are. What I think we're discovering is that the electrophysiology of mycelium has a higher frequency responses, so you can operate things more quickly. Mm. I'm not sure about that yet. So you can quote me on it, but it's not validated. The animal tissues are very high frequency responses, but again, they're very delicate to work with. So we thought mycelium was a good middle ground. There's lots of other species that we could use in the fungal kingdom that would provide different kinds of benefits. Some move around. There's some work on slime molds, and it's a pretty mobile species, so that could be used for actuation. We didn't do any of that. And within the plant kingdom, there's many opportunities there. Vines and there are fast movements like the Venus flytrap there too.
So cool to connect to a robot just for the pictures alone, in fairness.
Yes, and people have. People have recognized it and done it.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what I'm Googling after I finish this show.
One of the cool things about this work, and thank you for contacting me about it, is other people have been interested in it too, and they just volunteer ideas. We got a couple of good names that we could use in the future, and an idea of using orchids and cacti.
Okay.
Because they're pretty robust in the environment too. So yeah, there's a lot of things to do.
Well, really exciting work. Rob Shepherd is from Cornell. Rob, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.